Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and our study is Understanding Scripture, Part 2, the truths our practice is built on. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21, religious liberty. In the United States, we enjoy religious liberty. One of the best statements written on the issue of religious liberty is Article 17 of the Baptist Faith and Message of the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is how it reads. God alone is the Lord of the conscience, and he has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men which are contrary to his word or not contained in it. Church and state should be separate. The state owes to every church protection and full freedom in pursuit of its spiritual ends. In providing for such freedom, no ecclesiastical group or denomination should be favored by the state more than others. Civil government being ordained of God, it is the duty of Christians to render loyal obedience thereto in all things not contrary to the revealed will of God. The church should not resort to the civil power to carry on its work. The gospel of Christ contemplates spiritual means alone for the pulpit, for the pursuit of its ends. The state has no right to impose penalties for religious opinions of any kind. The state has no right to impose taxes for the support of any form of religion. A free church in a free state is the Christian ideal. And this implies the right of free and unhindered access to God on the part of all men, and the right to form and propagate opinions in the sphere of religion without interference by the civil power. What is the biblical foundation for this position? It's drawn from the whole counsel of God's word. John chapter 8, verse 32, and verse 36. Jesus declared that he is the author of freedom, both of conscience and of worship. In John 8, 32, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in verse 36, "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus also separated church and state in Matthew 22:21, when he said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The Apostle Paul gave instruction to Christians in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, to live in harmony with the government, even to pray for their leaders. He said, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." The Apostle Peter made it even more clear in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, which we looked at last time, emphasizes that Christians have a responsibility to submit to the authorities God has placed over us, and that God has ordained governments to punish evildoers and reward those who are good. There are a few passages on religious liberty. excuse me, these are a few passages on religious liberty. There are others. I want us to look at a few of the statements made in that Baptist Faith of Message article, statements we should believe. We should believe in religious liberty. God alone is the Lord of conscience. This conviction is at the heart of religious liberty. Simply stated, it is the right of every person to worship God or not as they see fit, without any interference from the government, but under the direction of God, the one to whom all of us will give account. We do not believe people should be forced to worship God, nor do we believe that they should be kept from worshiping God, not just for Christians, but for all people. We should believe church and state should be separate. Secularists of our country interpret separation of church and state as an excuse to actively exclude any mention of Christianity from the public square. This is not what we mean. Well, what do we mean then? The state should protect the church and ensure its freedom to pursue its spiritual ends. It is our God-given right to express our religious and moral views and worship without any government interference. It includes wearing t-shirts to school with religious messages without being penalized by school officials. It includes praying without penalty by school officials for exercising freedom of religion. It includes sharing the gospel message without being labeled intolerant for belief that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It includes exerting political legal influence to see candidates elected who hold Christian beliefs. It means that government should not seek to prohibit our free exercise of religion by denying building permits and with unfair zoning laws. It means that government should not censor pulpits and target preachers who stand against immorality and wickedness. Religious freedom is not based on the laws of men, but is an unalienable right granted by God. And good government has the responsibility of protecting that God-given right. The state should not favor one religious group over and opposed to another. It should not pursue an atheistic state. Some in our country think that separation of church and state means that the state must be godless. This was never the intention of our founding fathers or the framers of our Constitution. The state should not do the work of the church. Not only do we object to a church which is governed by the state, we also reject the idea of a state which is governed by the church. We believe that God's work is accomplished by God's people by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by enforcement of civil authorities. Jesus didn't look to Roman authorities to further his kingdom. Neither did the disciples, nor did Paul. One of the dangers in allowing the government to get involved with the work of the church is that they begin to control the church. Christians have a responsibility to the state because we are salt and light. We have a responsibility to speak the truth in love when our government is wrong on moral issues. The issues of abortion and homosexuality. As Christians, while we are subject to the government's authority, our ultimate allegiance is to Jesus Christ and the word, the truth of his word. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. But when Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Arrested for preaching Jesus, Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. When the laws of man violate the laws of God. As citizens of heaven, we must disobey man's rule. But civil disobedience must be clearly based on God's word, not on the opinions of man. Christians should be model citizens, but we also have a responsibility to be the conscience of our nation as well. We should believe in a free church in a free state. This means a state and a church where the church is free from the influence of the state, but at the same time is free to influence the state toward righteousness, but not control it. There are three approaches to church-state relations. First is avoidance, completely removing any recognition of the church and creating a secular society. Second is acknowledgement, government establishment of a majority religion such as Iran. And then third, accommodation, a healthy pluralism where all views are allowed, encouraged, and respected. Americans should be able to bring their religiously informed moral values to public policy discussions. Few people have ever had as much religious freedom as American citizens. The problem with blessings is that, taken for granted, they can become a curse. Many Americans have no concept of how unique our religious liberty is. Taking it for granted, they fail to protect it against the secularism that is taking our land. Christian voices must be heard, and our country must be one to Christ, one person at a time. You have a great day.